remembrance of me until I return, until I come back. And so we're also being faithful and obedient in doing this morning. We want to welcome all of our visitors. If this is your first time here, we welcome you. If you've come a number of times, we're glad to have you back. If you're visiting the first time, there's a guest book right through those doors, a little shelf on the wall. If you'd be willing to sign that with your name and address and that kind of stuff, and make it legible, that's just really helpful. And I want to say a special welcome this morning to Betty Holmes and her family and friends. This is a special morning as she's able to be here. This is a prayer answered to be here in the house of the Lord with what she calls her church family, her brothers and sisters in Christ. And in a few minutes, we'll also do a formal welcome. But we're just excited to have you here. And this is a prayer answered to be able to be here this morning with your family. And so we celebrate that and praise God for that. If you're joining us in other means, okay, that would be Jethro Radio or Jethro.fm. That's on the internet. YouTube. YouTube is not able to be live this morning, so there's some technical difficulties, but it will be, it is being recorded, and it'll be put up a little bit later. So it will be there. It's not going to be live this morning. And then other people still get the CDs, and so we're thankful for that. That we can reach out in different ways and share the good news of who Jesus is, why we worship and praise him, and what a blessing it is to be one of his children. To all of those who join us through electronic means, consider this a personal invitation to come and be part of our church family. If you're able to do that, we meet lifetime Sunday mornings, 9:30, and be great just to see you, to meet you, and to have you be part of our church family. I want to give one other announcement, and that is we got one more week to fill the baby bottles. And you've seen them or in the hallway here and downstairs in the fellowship hall. And I just encourage you to fill them up with change. And I know some of you were a little worried because you were running out of change. And I talked to the people at Right to Life. Good news for you. They'll take bills. So if you run out of change, you just fill it with bills, and they're real happy to accommodate that. And one other thing, just invite everybody to come downstairs for coffee and cookies and fellowship. On a rainy day like this, there's no reason to hurry anywhere. And just stay and have some time together and get to meet and greet each other. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 66. Hear the word of God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done. How awesome his deeds for all of mankind. This is the God we sing to. I'm going to ask you to stand and sing number 224. We have come into his house. 224. pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your house to worship you and to praise you. We're grateful we can do this anytime, any place, anywhere. But there's something special about corporate worship. Being together with family members and lifting up your name and singing your praise. And Father, we want to do this well. And so our prayer is that your Holy Spirit is just working in our midst, touching our hearts, filling us with joy because we're here. And then also having open hearts to hear what you would have to say to us this day. And then as we come to the communion table, to once again be reminded of your great love for us. And may this equip us to let our little light shine where you have placed us. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue worshiping our God by singing 747. There's sunshine in my soul. 747. Sunshine in my soul. What a good thing to have. At this time, we want to publicly welcome Betty Holmes to our church family. Now, officially, this was done May the 17th, and Betty wasn't able to be here, and this has been a constant prayer of hers. She's been here once before. This is her second visit. She joins us every week with YouTube. Just feels this is our church home. So thankful for all the prayers and support and encouragement, visits, cards, all of that stuff. And Betty has an indomitable spirit. Life hasn't always been easy, but she always sees God's hand, sees opportunities to share who Jesus is, and be excited about the one that she belongs to, and testify to his faithfulness in her life and how he has sustained her. And so, like I said, this has been a prayer of Betty's for quite a while. And earlier this week, she was still at Uptalus. Well, she went from St. Mary's to Uptalus. And then I think Friday or Saturday got to go home. But she said early in the week, she said, "I'm going to try to be there Sunday morning. And I'm bringing family and friends. And you've done that. And I hope you all come back every week." But it's just good to have you here. Betty was raised Southern Baptist. She's a real gifted musician as well as vocalist, and with some of the health concerns that some of those things don't work like they once did, but there's still always a song in her heart, and she has a lot of joy because of who she belongs to. And so this is a prayer answered for her, and so good to have you here this morning, Betty, and we welcome you as part of our church family, and we hope that you continue to be a blessing to us, and that we can be that to you and your family. So let's give Betty a nice warm welcome. Well, and a couple of other updates on our church family. One is Peter Ristikus. He had that eye surgery this past Tuesday. That all went well. He's with us this morning, and just praise God for a favorable outcome. And like I mentioned, Betty discharged from Uptalus and here with us, and so that's a lot to celebrate today. Lorraine Strading did get to come home on Friday, and thankful for that. That's also been quite a journey for Lorraine. And Brett Roberts, that's Karen's son, had a surgical procedure yesterday. And so we want to pray for Brett and for Karen, for that whole family. It's just been a long, hard week. And it's not over yet. So pray for continued grace and strength for each family member and what they stand in need of. And then want to ask you to remember the May Christie family. And many of you wouldn't know them. They were members here when Open Hearts also met here. And May passed away June the 8th. Her funeral service will be this Friday, the 19th, at 3 p.m. right here at 8th Reformed. And I think it's a real opportunity for us to come out and be supportive and encouraging to this family. And as many of you older time 8th Reformed people would probably remember the Christie family. But it is an opportunity for us to show Christian love and support for those who are grieving. Let's come before our Heavenly Father with our congregational prayer. Abundant God, on this Communion Sunday, we come with gratitude for being invited to your table. You're the Lord of forgiveness, of healing, and renewal. Thank you for the invitation to come and be restored. We hold out to you all of our burdens. Our sin, our guilt, our shame, all the things that weigh us down, that steal our joy, that make life difficult. We bring them all before you and ask that you just cover it all in your blood. And then you say, you see us as white as snow. And so we ask you to help to live lives that are filled with love and freedom and joy, to seek justice, to be godly people. Shake our hearts, set our souls on fire with your love, and then send us out into the world rejoicing in your power, that we would have a courage and a boldness because of the one that we belong to, that we would dare to let our little light shine wherever you have placed us. Help us not to live with a spirit of fear as we look at the world around us, but to always remember that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We know we're not what you intended us to be, but we also know that in through the sanctification process, you're moving us to become the people you want us to be. And so may our prayer and our desire be to be moved and changed by your Holy Spirit working in us. We know that that's why you sent the Comforter, to mold us and shape us into the people you want us to be for the furtherance of your kingdom. And then our prayers at this communion meal will fill our souls with gratitude, with praise, and a deep desire to worship you. As we pray this and as we give thanks, we're also mindful of many for whom this is not a reality, whom just the busyness of life or whatever the reason do not walk with you, nor profess you as Savior and Lord, or admit they need a Savior. And so we come to you, Father, and we pray that you in your grace would unlock their hearts, soften their hearts, move them to a place where they too want to profess Jesus is Lord, Lord of my life, and then also want to be part of the family of God, to come together corporately with brothers and sisters in Christ and lift up your name. And so we pray, Father, that your Spirit will go places and do that as only you can do that. As we pray for spiritual needs, we also ask that you move among us with your healing power for physical needs, for all those dealing with health issues, those whose names are listed in the bulletin, those that stand in the gap, supporting, encouraging, doing the extra, taking care of the details, all of that stuff, will you provide for them physically as well as emotionally. We thank you that Peter's eye surgery went well. For Linda, she recovers at home. That Lorraine and Betty could return home. For Ford, as he awaits test results, we pray for special grace for Brett Roberts and his family in this critical time. We remember May Christie family as they grieve her passing and they also celebrate her going home. She professed you as her Lord and Savior. She believed that she was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so we have that assurance that she's in your presence now. And as we pray for the Christie family, we pray for all those who are grieving. Father, when we deal with loss, sometimes it's recent, sometimes it's from a long time ago, but there's always an emptiness, always something that is missing because of that kind of the finality of death that just touches our hearts in a way that that empty seat at the table, that person we would share our life with or tell our story to, no longer is that a possibility. But thank you that you are also a God who's everywhere present, and you have promised, I'll give strength for the journey. And remember, your hope is in me. Lord, will you have mercy on America? Many are trying to destroy this nation. In some ways, it just seems we've lost our moral compass. A lot of it is like in the book of Judges, everyone doing what was right in their own eyes. And so we come to you and we pray for grace. Thank you for all the blessings that we have enjoyed. And Father, you have dealt kindly with us. You have showed a lot of mercy to our nation. We pray that you would equip our leadership to seek your wisdom. And as we approach our 250th anniversary, may we see your hand. May we give you the praise, give you the credit, that the honor belongs to you for all the blessings that you have poured out on us. And Father, as your people, help us to be willing to let our light shine in the darkness. And then we also want to thank you that we keep hearing reports of people coming back to you. Bible sales are up. People are coming back. More people are coming to worship again. People are seeking something that is a firm foundation. In their seeking, may they find you in the freedom that you alone can give and that fulfillment and joy that only comes from having an identity in Christ. May there be a peace treaty between Iran and us and in that whole Middle East region. We also pray, Father, that that could happen between Russia and Ukraine. And then we know there's lots of other places where there's just war and rumors of war and turmoil around the entire globe. Our prayer would be that you, the Prince of Peace, would intervene. Our greatest desire is that whatever the nation, that people could gather freely to profess Jesus as Lord, to be able to worship you without fear of persecution. We remember Chad and Dara Vandenbos in Mozambique. We ask your blessing on them as they minister there in an agricultural setting, bringing in the story of the great vineyard owner. That would be you, Lord. And then also, as they are instrumental in using audio scripture ministries, would you bless their ministry? And Father, we know also that with all the hostility, people suffer horrible things, but we're grateful for organizations like the Voice of the Martyrs. We just minister to those people who suffer so much. And our prayer would be that we would also be cognizant of what they're going through and hold them in prayer and be supportive and encouraging in any way we can be. And in many ways, they're role models. In that, would we also be faithful? Should we be persecuted for professing Jesus is Lord? To that end, we pray for the local church, including 8th Reformed, and wherever people meet to study and worship the one who is truth. Thank you for the joy in welcoming Betty Holmes into our church family. And you answered her prayer to be able to be here present this morning in person with family and friends. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for the blessing of having a church family. Many times we're reminded we really do need each other. And in the beginning, you already said, it's not good to be alone. Holy Spirit, would you illumine the Bible passage that we'll study today? Fill us, O living bread, with yourself. And we pray this in the name of the crucified and risen Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by singing number 724, Lead On, O King Eternal. Standing to sing 724. Seated. Dear congregation, stories have to do with the events of life. Many stories start with, remember when? Remember when? For men, it's usually from younger days, has to do with sporting events or hunting or fishing or something to do with their cars or motorcycles. For women, it's more relationship-oriented, dating, husbands, children, grandchildren, depending on the stage of life. Funerals are also a time where we remember and reminisce about the life story of the one who is deceased. The Bible is also a story. It's made up of many stories, from Genesis to Revelation, with one consistent theme. It opens with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we have something in the days when the judges ruled, everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and there was chaos in the land. A certain man from Zora named Manoah had a son. If you want to know more about that, that's Samson. We're going to talk about him next week. In those days, John the Baptist, okay, the forerunner of Christ. And today's story, what we're going to read, is recorded in Luke chapter 4, and invite you to turn with me. It's page 1464 in your pew Bibles. Page 1464, Luke chapter 4. I'll just read a few verses from there. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. Hear the word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he, that's Jesus, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. May God add his blessing to that holy and inspired word. It's just a short passage, I know, but it's so rich. It starts off with the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner. Recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What it's really doing is introducing the new covenant. It's a new era. And Jesus, what he read here is actually a quote from Isaiah 61. And everything was going well, except the thing that Jesus said at the end, those words, those became a problem. When he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Ah, we're going so good until he said that. The response is, who is this rabbi? Who does he think he is? Is he claiming to be the Messiah? Does he think he's the anointed one? Because if he did, that would mean he's claiming to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of us, of Israel. That's preposterous. This can't be true. That's so twisted. You know what? This is blasphemy. There is no other way to interpret it. This is blasphemy. Besides all that, he's from Nazareth. What good has ever come out of Nazareth? That's a podunk town. The Messiah would never come from there. This is not how it works. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled? No way. Matter of fact, it upset the people so much that if you keep reading in this story, you'll see that they were ready to kill him. There was just no other option for someone to be so blasphemous. But It wasn't the fullness of time yet. That comes later in the story. It took three years to accomplish that plan, the plan where they would kill him. But in the meantime, in those 3 years, there were many stories. Many stories. You know a lot of them. They'll sound familiar. A farmer went out to sow. Yeah, we know that one, the parable of the sower. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. How about a man had two sons? And then there were encounters such as a certain man of the Pharisees came to visit Jesus at night. We know him as Nicodemus. Or the question by the rich young ruler, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Or another question, who is my neighbor? Oh, a lot happened in those 3 years. And then there was the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, wondering, what's this Jewish guy talking to me? That is so inappropriate, and that never happens. And then another time, Jesus is walking along, and a blind man is yelling out, Jesus, Son of David. All kinds of stories, all kinds of things have happened. And then there's a story about the two sisters and their dear brother Lazarus. And we hear Lazarus was sick. And then, what we call Maundy Thursday, Jesus speaking said to his disciples, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. It's one story after another with one central theme. And there's a real irony in this story, too, in that the good news which he came to preach, the good news was his own suffering and death. It was good for everyone, except the one who said, I have come to proclaim the good news. The benefit was for all of us, but at his expense. You've probably seen the acronym for GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense, and that shows up through the entire scripture. This is the horrible story of Jesus' unfair death on the cruel cross. We call it Good Friday. But Good Friday is the center point of the whole story, ending with the resurrection. And so I want to turn to one other passage, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. And that's page 1635 in your pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. This is the story of where Paul gets special instructions directly from heaven. Hear the word of God. Paul writing this, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God remains forever faithful. What we just read here is Jesus really teaching Paul what's most significant. And when you think about it, isn't it something that Jesus didn't say, well, Paul, you know, you're new to this. Let me tell you about my birth. That was really something. And those shepherds were really amazed. And Mary and Joseph, they couldn't figure out why there was no room for them. Or, Paul, I got to tell you about the Mount of Transfiguration. That was so cool. Or, did you see what happened on the Sea of Galilee? Oh, them guys were so scared. And I just spoke, and the wind and the waves calm. That wasn't the focus. The whole focus is what we just read. Jesus teaching Paul. Paul, known as the abnormal disciple, because he meets Jesus after Jesus is ascended into heaven. This is after the Damascus Road experience. And what he teaches Paul is the story of Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, his return. Paul treasured this story. Paul treasured this story, and it was central to all he did. And one of a key verse in Paul's teachings is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The message of the cross. This was true 2,000 years ago. It's true today. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. How many people just think that, how many people do you know that just think it's crazy? This is what you do Sunday morning. And then you worship somebody who supposedly was killed on a cross, and you say he rose again. And then you come around the table and say, yep, this is his body, this is his blood. I don't know about you guys. I don't know what you're smoking. Foolishness. Paul called it then. It's still true today. But to us who are being saved, and that's the whole difference. To us who are being saved, not to give us bragging rights, but in humility to say, yes, the Holy Spirit has revealed these things to us as being true. To us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is this story that Jesus tells Paul to remember. To remember as he teaches him the following. And this is really familiar, but Jesus taught Paul this. We're going to hear it again later, but it's good to hear. The night in which Jesus was betrayed, okay, Monday, Thursday, he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given to you. And to do what? Do this in remembrance of me. It is always about Jesus. It is always about him. And then after that, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And so that's our focus even this morning. And as you hold the elements, I hope you concentrate and focus on that. This is his body given to me. This is his blood shed for me. This is what Jesus did for me. This is real. This is not just some wonderful story we read, or kind of a mythological thing. This is what really happened. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. See, stories help us to remember. That's why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Always to remember what he did. So we remember by talking about things. That's why we like to reminisce. Hey, remember the time when? And then we do things. I know this is changing a little bit because people used to do albums and scrapbooking was big. And now everybody, I guess they put it all on the cloud. But what do? We try to save our stories. If there's really bad weather, or if you have a flood in your house or a fire, or they're afraid the tornado is going to take everything, what do? You try to save some things that have stories attached to them, stories of your lives. We need our stories to remember who we are. And so this morning, Jesus says to us, remember. Remember this story. Remember me. And what I did for you, remember what I taught you. Remember. See, it's real easy to kind of just go through this and, yep, it's Communion Sunday and we do the ritual and that was good. And if the sermon isn't too long, we still get out on time. Those kind of things. Rather than really focusing on, wow, this is an incredible gift where the Son of God sacrificed himself so that we could have hope, so that we could have joy. So that we could have assurance, not just for now, but for forevermore. And so he's saying, whenever you, the people at 83 Forum in Wyoming, whenever you who join us in other ways, eat and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Last week we talked about letting your little light shine. Okay, this little light of mine. Well, this is how we proclaim the Lord's death corporately. But it's also a reminder of what we share with others. Because in this supper, we proclaim his death even as we prepare and wait. Prepare and wait for his triumphant return. Yes, life is full of stories, but this is no ordinary story. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it is his story. And this has to be, or this has to become our story. It has to be his story that becomes our story. Our story. See, all by ourselves, we really don't have a story other than that we're lost. But when our story is wrapped up in the story of Jesus and his death and his resurrection and his ascension and his return, that's what gives us hope. That's what gives us peace. That's what gives us confidence for now and for eternity, forevermore. The celebration of the Lord's Supper is a visible reminder of what we read about in Luke 4. In case you're wondering, well, why'd you start reading Luke 4? Why didn't you just go right to Paul's passage? This is a visible reminder of what we read about in Luke 4. This is the good news to the poor. Yes, we are the poor. We are the poor in spirit. It speaks to our freedom. It speaks to us because we are prisoners. Until Jesus is real in our lives, we are trapped in sin. That's where we're prisoners, in bondage. But through him, we are free. He speaks to our vision, because before he's the Lord of our lives, we are blind. We have no vision. He speaks to our liberty, our release from oppression, when we feel weighted down by the burdens of life. And it speaks to the Lord's favor. Remember the angels at his birth announcement? Peace on earth, goodwill to men on whom his favor rests. Yes, this is the good news that Jesus came to proclaim. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. We call it a feast of remembrance. That's looking back, Calvary. A feast of communion. You see kind of that word of community, being united with Christ and with each other, the present. And it's a feast of hope, eternity. Trusting and believing that this is real, that what we're experiencing and celebrating this morning is absolute truth. Let us now remember the story through a hands-on experience known as the communion meal. Yes, on that Maundy Thursday, Passover became communion, and we're invited by the one who is central to the story, because he's the perfect sacrifice. The one who is the host and the one who is the elements. Jesus, the one who is our all in all. Until we know him, we will never have our own identity. May this day, this experience, fill our hearts with gratitude and praise, and may this be the story that we share with others. Till he returns, or we go to him. Father, we come to you. We thank you for the communion meal and what it signifies. Help us never to become complacent about this. It's a defining moment in history that you were willing to die on the cross and then that glorious resurrection. And then after your ascension, you sent the Holy Spirit and you promised that you would return. And when you do, you'll be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And every eye will see you, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, through the power of your Spirit, will you stir our hearts as only you can, so that our lives are again enriched and also stand in awe of what you have done in our behalf. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by singing number 460, Let Us Break Bread Together. Congregation may be seated. Invite the elders to come forward. And please be seated. At this time, we will have our communion service, and it starts with the meaning of the sacrament, and I know you have your bulletin inserts, and it's a responsive reading, so I invite you to participate in this reading, and then after this reading, we'll go into a prayer. Meaning of the sacrament. Let us also consider to what end the Lord has instituted his supper. This do, he said, in remembrance of me. We are therefore to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promise made in the Old Testament, was sent by the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, that he fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law, that he, although innocent, was condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, that he took upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessing, that he humbled himself unto death, even the bitter and shameful death of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally, that he confirmed with the shedding of his blood the new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation when he said, "It is finished." That we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, instituted the Holy Supper. That teaching us, as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we are thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, admonished and assured of his hearty love and faithfulness toward us, that whereas we should otherwise have suffered eternal death, he has given his body to the death of the cross and shed his blood for us. And he will as certainly feed and nourish our hungry and thirsty souls with his crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before our eyes and this cup is given to us, and we eat and drink in remembrance of him. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross as the only ground of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of eternal life. For by his death, he has taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same spirit, which dwells in Christ as the head and in us as his members, may have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. So also are we, by the Holy Spirit, to be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the holy apostle said, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Jesus Christ, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate, and where all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting that through the working of the Holy Spirit, we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, holy and right it is, and our joyful duty to give thanks to you at all times and all places. You, our Lord, are our Creator, the everlasting and almighty God. You created heaven with all its hosts, the earth with all its plenty. You've given us life and being, and preserve us by your providence. But you've shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, made flesh for us and our salvation. For the precious gift of this mighty Savior, who has reconciled us to you, we praise and bless you, O God. With your whole church on earth and with all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name. We say, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world. In the joy of his resurrection and expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifice. As we proclaim the mystery of the faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread which we break and the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. Grant that being joined together in him, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things unto Christ our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many fields into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. All those who have confessed their faith in Jesus Christ or are members of a Christian church in good standing are welcome at the Lord's table. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I invite you all to hold the elements until all have been served, and then we will take it together. body of Christ broken. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat, doing this in remembrance of him. In like manner, after they had supped, he took the cup. And when he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." couple blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of Jesus. It's really an amazing thing when you think that the creator of the universe is the one who invited us to the table. He is the one who said, come, for all things are now ready. And he reminds us, too, that he is our all in all. He's the host, he's the elements. There's absolutely nothing we can add, and there's nothing we can bring to add to it. Just our hearts filled with gratitude and praise. And one of the ways we can do that is through a Thanksgiving communion writing that you have also. It's in your bulletin, and we'll read this together. It says, beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say with mouth and heart, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy for them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those that fear him, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and has given us all things with him. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. And most of these words are based on Psalm 103, a really uplifting psalm filled with thanksgiving and praise. At this time, the morning offering will be received. Invite the deacons to come forward.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you have received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That is 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.